Our text this morning, we're taking this week and next week on Easter Sunday a break from our action series, and we're in John chapter 12, the first 11 verses. And we've talked a lot about Palm Sunday this morning. What about the day before Palm Sunday? Indeed, specifically the night before. This text is about an episode, a very significant one, that happened the night before Palm Sunday. And as we look at this text, I am inviting us to eavesdrop on this, because we find here that instead of on Palm Sunday, when Jesus was surrounded and serenaded by hundreds, probably thousands of people, on the night before he was at a dinner party where there were probably 17 people. And as we eavesdrop on this party, I trust we will learn of and be refreshed in a very appropriate response that Jesus' followers of all ages are to continually be giving him. So let's hear God's word. I'll read John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save the perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. There was this young man named Clifford who had grown up in a small town, gone off to college, got his law degree, and then decided to come back to his hometown, set up a law office to make a name for himself. He wanted to be honored. And so he set up this law office, and the first day he's open, he sees a man coming, his first client, and Clifford decides he doesn't want to look like a raw rookie. And so just before the man opens the door, Clifford grabs a phone and begins talking as the man enters. "Yes, yeah, you tell those attorneys in New York that I'm not going to settle this case for less than $1 million. Now, I've got clearance from the state appeals court that they will hear the case next week. I'm going to be the main presenter, but I've got a good team to work with me. Tell the clerk, though, of the state, I'm going to get in touch with him next week, and we'll work out the details. But listen, I've got to go now, so I'll talk to you later." Puts down the phone, turns to the man, says, "Thank you for waiting, but how can I help you?" The man says, "I'm with the phone company. I came to hook up your phone." Now, not totally unrelated, and I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but today is April 9th. Does it happen to be anyone's birthday here? Anyone's birthday? How about April 8th? Anyone have a birthday yesterday? Anyone tomorrow, April 10th? Huh? No one. Is anyone have an April birthday? Oh, there's some April birthdays. Well, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I know something's going to happen. For those of you with April birthdays, you're going to be honored. And we honor people on their birthday in various ways. We can sing happy birthday. We can give gifts. It depends upon the situation, maybe how old they are. But we honor people on their birthday. And it's kind of interesting to think of it this way. What have they done to deserve the honor? I mean, none of us chose to be born or chose where to be born. And I mean, But you know what it is? We honor people because they have inherent worth. They are valuable to us. They're a friend or a loved one. They are made in the image of God. At the same time, we honor people. We choose to honor people for achievements. Locally here, Kelsey Plum has been declared National Player of the Year in women's college basketball. She's from the UW. In other words, others have chosen to give her the honor for her achievement. Honor is a way that we express value and esteem and a respect for a person. And the more value we give them, the greater the honor. What we see here in our text is that dinner was held to honor Jesus. Honor him for who he was. That is the incarnate Son of God, Messiah, but also for what he has done. And that was, most recently, raising Lazarus a few weeks before from the dead. Now, I think this morning we've already honored Jesus. As we have opened our hearts in praise and worship, just expressing how wonderful he is, that's honoring our Lord. You see, like I said, the greater the value we place on someone, the greater the honor. And when you get to the supreme value, we honor with worship. And our great triune God, who is of supreme value, we honor with worship. And out of that worship, we have daily expressions of how we show that our great God and Lord is to be honored. And that's what we see in this text here. There are different practical expressions of honoring the Lord Jesus. For example, we have Simon the leper and his hospitality. Now, you didn't see Simon the leper in this particular text. The other Gospels, in their account of this dinner party, mention that it was held at the home of Simon the leper. He had undoubtedly been healed of his leprosy by Jesus and become a follower of Jesus, and now he was opening up his home. I mentioned there were probably 17 here at this party. There is Jesus, his 12 disciples, that's 13. There was Simon the leper, 14. And then there was Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary, that's 17. Now, there might have been others, or it might have just been the 17. But whenever we open our hearts and open our homes and others see how valuable to us Jesus Christ is, that is honoring him with hospitality. Then we have Lazarus. He honored Jesus with fellowship. It says that Lazarus reclined there at table with Jesus. Here's an interesting thing about the Gospels. In the Gospel of John, the first words we hear from Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, is right in this passage. And we'll get to that in a little bit. They were critical words. Lazarus, who was featured in John 11 as the one who was raised from the dead, and here as one who's reclining with Jesus, enjoying the fellowship, the Bible never gives us any words from Lazarus. Now, it wasn't that Lazarus didn't talk. He undoubtedly did. There's just no words of his in the Bible. And yet we can see the passion that he had to be and enjoy his time with Jesus. The Lord has told us that he is always with us. He's with us now. He's with us when we go to work, wherever we might be. But we honor him with fellowship when we side specific time to say, I just want to be with Jesus. When we read our Bible, when we take time to pray, when you took time to, instead of sleeping in this morning, come to corporately worship the Lord with his people, that's honoring him. That's saying, I want to be with the people. I want to be with Jesus' bride. I want to be with him. We honor Jesus with our fellowship. And we honor Jesus with our service. Martha served. Martha's an interesting case study. We first come across her in Luke chapter 10 in the famous little story where, you know, Jesus came and Martha was serving and Mary, her sister, sat at the feet of Jesus listening, and Martha got all bent out of shape Now, God had made her a server. That in itself was not wrong. But Martha got all grumbly because she expected Mary also to be serving. But you know, the scripture shows that the gentle rebuke Jesus gave her at that time had taken hold. We find here Martha serving. She's not bothered at all that Mary is bringing this ointment and sitting at the feet of Jesus, wiping his hair. Martha is delighted to serve. She is honoring Jesus for who he is and what he has done in raising her brother back. We serve, we honor Jesus by serving. And speaking of Lazarus, we saw here at the end of this text that many people, they'd heard of this miracle. And they heard that Lazarus is right there in Bethany. And they came. They wanted to see not only Jesus, but this guy who had been in the tomb for 4 days. And because of that miracle, it says many put their faith in Jesus. And it was a risky faith because there were authorities who were now breathing death threats against Lazarus. But still, people put their faith in Jesus. We honor Jesus when we trust him. Even in those difficult moments of our life, we still trust him because he is trustworthy. That's honoring Jesus. Whatever expression of honor we give to our Lord, the two key figures in this passage, besides Jesus, and that's Mary and Judas, reveal something else significant, two factors about honoring our Lord. And those two factors are choice and focus. Choice and focus. When we honor the Lord, it doesn't just happen accidentally. We've made choices to honor him. You know, Simon the leper chose to open up his home. Lazarus chose to say it's valuable just to spend time with Jesus. Martha chose to serve him. And the people chose to put their faith in him. It was a choice. And we find Mary exemplifying this to the utmost. Mary honored Jesus with sacrificial love. Not treasuring the things of the world, she treasured her Lord. She brought this expensive vial of perfume. Pure nard, not just nard mixed with some other spice. It was pure nard, was used to anoint kings. And it was very expensive. The Bible doesn't tell us where this poor woman got this, but it was obviously something of great value to her, but she said of greater value is Jesus. The supreme value is worship. She came and dumped this nard on him and then wiped his feet with her hair. Extravagant, sacrificial love. Nothing too good for our Savior. And yet, here's the interesting thing, too. Jesus had mentioned more than once to his followers, not just the 12, others would have heard this, that he was going to Jerusalem, be put to death, and then rise again the third day. And it just like it went right over their heads. The scripture shows that they just didn't believe that. Their mind was so set that Messiah, and they believed Jesus was Messiah, but Messiah would be such a powerful person. He wouldn't die. He's going to conquer. It seems that Mary was one of the few, maybe the only one, that kind of thought, maybe this is God's plan. That she anoint Jesus for burial. And in that, she's showing deep faith, making a choice. Judas made a choice. He chose not to honor Jesus. He chose to make a scene as he objected to what Mary was doing. But you notice his objection. We need to see this. His objection was filled with spiritual overtones. It sounded so pious. Why this waste? I mean, this could have been sold and given to the poor. We're to be concerned for the poor. I mean, it sounded so pious. So John wants to make sure we not get fooled by that. He makes this little footnote, not that Judas really cared about the poor. Turns out he was a thief. He's seeing money thrown out the window here because if that had been sold to give to the poor, he would have pocketed some. Deceit. Judas chose not to honor Jesus. You see, what we choose actually shows what's in our heart. The choices these others were making to honor Jesus was because in their heart they loved him. They were trusting him. What we choose to do always shows what's in our heart. And it showed that Judas's heart was a betrayal heart. It was turning against Jesus. But it's not just choice, it's also focus. And here's what's really interesting. Mary was focused on Jesus. She came and she brought this perfume, anointed his feet. Now, Mary was not deaf. As she's doing this, she can hear Judas over here grumbling and out loud accusing her of being wasteful. But she was focused. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. Now, I'm going to speculate here, and I hope that I don't offend anyone, but if Mary was not surrendered to Jesus and focused on him, if she was doing this kind of to look good and to try to get brownie points with Jesus or something like that, so in other words, her heart motive would have been more, you know, this is going to really look good to him, you know, the wrong motive. I can predict one of two things would have happened here when Judas is mouthing off about this. Either one, she would have been very upset and left the room crying that he was, you know, getting on her. Or she would have stood up and just blasted him in anger. Well, you think you're so concerned about the poor? What have you ever done for the poor? I mean, I could just see that. Instead, she just stays focused. She said, you know, she lets Jesus defend her. And that's what he did. He said, leave her alone. She's doing this to prepare my body for burial. Wow. Tragically, Judas's focus was not on Jesus at all. It was on Mary to criticize her. You know, it's very important as we walk through our daily lives that we be aware of where the Lord is and what he's doing. You know, Todd made the mention here that he's maybe not as much a focused prayer as his wife, but Todd's developed the sense that I think we all want to have, walking in the presence of the Lord, just kind of being aware he's there. And we want to be in tune with the Spirit. I think of this because I was talking with a Presbyterian pastor friend a few years back. He related an incident that happened in a session meeting that he had. The elders and he were watching a clip from one of George Otis's transformation videos about what happens when the body of Christ in the area really prays for that area and invites the Lord's presence, and there's, you know, just some wonderful transformations. And after they watched this little clip, they were just kind of talking together about, they were excited about what the Lord might do in their area and how we can pray together and all of this. And as this discussion is going on, one elder interjected and said, you know, we took an offering a couple of months ago for so-and-so charity, and we still haven't given it all to that charity yet. And she was concerned that they hadn't followed through on that giving to the poor. And then she added on to that, and it's because some people have dropped the ball, kind of implicating both the pastor and the head of the missions committee. Now, the pastor I was talking to said it wasn't that there wasn't some legitimacy to what she said because there had been some miscommunication and they needed to follow through and finish that up. But what had happened is that she totally missed what the Spirit was doing in the midst of that group. As they were basically honoring Jesus and what he can do in transforming lives. And then she interjects something that's just a critical word and ironically kind of like Judas having to do with the poor and with money. She missed what was going on. She wasn't honoring Jesus. Her heart wasn't in the right place like the others. But I'm going to give her some slack because of this. None of us are always in the right place. And it might have been she just got up on the wrong side of the bed that day. Or even if she was a chronic complainer, she might be like a Martha who could receive a rebuke, a loving rebuke, and be changed and become more grateful. I would suggest, or probably expect, that even though these are beautiful expressions of honoring Jesus we see here, none of these people, including Mary, always hit it 100%. I'm sure their hearts were sometimes not in the right place. In fact, the other gospel recordings of this incident reveal this, that all the disciples grumbled against Mary as well. Judas was the spokesman. But those disciples, except for Judas, tragically, they all became like Martha. They changed their tune after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after they came to see why Jesus died and why this was so significant, what Mary did. They became transformed to honor him. And so can we. It's a choice. The choice to honor Jesus every day in the different ways that we live and express that is a choice that shows what's in our heart. Now, the reality is our heart isn't always quite the right place in the busyness and the issues and challenges of life. Have you ever been short with someone you love? Irritable with someone that you really care for? Welcome to the human race. Happens to all of us, right? You know, when I work on a sermon, I mean, it's all week long. It's just, it's there in my mind and my heart. So I've been working on this all week about honoring the Lord. And earlier this week, there was a situation where I found I was being short with Jeanette, kind of irritable. And I thought, and then I was convicted by the Spirit. So I apologized to Jeanette, but I also asked the Lord, forgive me. I was recognizing in my being short with her, I'm not honoring Jesus. I'm not honoring him. You know, it's sometimes hard for a pastor, because the Lord has to make this word real to me before I ever preach it to you. And sometimes that's kind of hard, but it's true. Our hearts aren't always right, but praise God, I'm like Martha. I'm learning along the way. And by God's grace, like Mary, sometimes I'm just full of sacrificial love in how I honor Jesus. And I believe that's the way all of us are. We sometimes miss it, but it's our heart's desire to honor him. The highest form of honoring our Lord is worship. It's expressed in many ways. You know, in just a moment, we're going to be singing a song, You Are My King, and it's got this phrase in there, in all I do, I honor you. Now, let's be honest. That is not a literally true statement we're going to sing. I can't honestly say, in all I do, I honor him. But it is true in this respect, and this is how I want us to sing that. It's true because that's the desire of our heart. We really do want to honor him. And the very fact we're not 100% accurate is why we praise him for going to the cross. He forgives us. He understands. He bled and died so that we are forgiven and renewed. He gives us eternal life through his resurrection. He sends the Holy Spirit to transform us. So we can sing, in all I do, I honor you. Because that's a desire of our heart. Whether it's through hospitality or fellowship or service, faith, sacrificial love, it's worship. The highest form of honoring. Let's pray together as we prepare to sing. Let's just take a moment now, and if you need to just lay at the foot of the cross the confession of where maybe you've been like a Martha who grumbled before she learned to be thankful. Maybe you've been like the disciples who initially grumbled along with Judas at what Mary did. And maybe even this past week there was a time where you dishonored the Lord by how you spoke or acted. He forgives, but would you lay that at the foot of the cross and just confess that in the quietness of your heart? Lord, we thank you that you're a forgiving God. And as we confess before you where we have not honored you, we thank you that by your blood you cover that dishonoring and forgive us. And now I'm going to ask that you just take a moment in your heart, and this can be a fun thing. As you look to your week ahead, maybe pray for opportunities to honor Jesus before others, however that may be expressed. Maybe even an idea will come to you. Oh, hey, here's one way I can honor my Lord. Let's just take a moment and let the Spirit kind of stir our hearts with anticipation of how we might find fresh expressions to honor Jesus. Well, Holy Spirit, we last week were praying that you would open doors for divine encounters, and I know there have been some this week. Now we want to pray that you would, you're so creative, that you would give some fresh opportunities this week for us to honor our Lord Jesus, whether it's through service, through some expression of trust or faith, or whether official love or fellowship with you, fresh way, hospitality, whatever it might be, would you open up those opportunities? Because we want the world to know there is nothing, there is no one more valuable. And now unto the King, eternal, immortal, and all glorious, the triune God, be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen.